painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
On this episode of Artbeat, we visit with an individual whose work is the main attraction at the Lanesboro Arts Center through June. The exhibit is entitled Mothers and Their Dreams and is a collection of figurative clay sculpture. This artist states that, "Working with clay allows me to create a world in which a story can unfold. I work with the human form because while the figure can be approachable, the presentation of its inner psyche is infinitely complex. The pieces become a bit like three-dimensional watercolors, fluid, textural, and spontaneous, providing enough details to draw the viewer in, but leaving individual interpretation." You're listening to Artbeat, and our coverage of the exhibition Mothers and Their Dreams unveiled during Lanesboro's Ibsen Festival. Hi, you're listening Artbeat here on KQAL, and I have Linda Lewis, and tonight's your opening reception at the Lanesboro Arts Center for your collection of women's sculptures.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about the inspiration behind your collection.
Well, I think one of the first things, about 6 years ago, I started making figurative sculptures, and they say to do what you know, and our kids had all grown up, but I think I was still in shock from that whole experience. And so there's a lot of things that you can't really express verbally. I don't do things well verbally or written wise necessarily. But I started thinking about certain themes that I saw between women. I worked in schools, so there's lots of women in schools, and I saw a lot of links between their stories and my story. And how would I represent that if it was visual? And so that's kind of what got me started, you know. And then it's like rolling a snowball down a hill. You do one idea, and then you think of another, and you think of another. So
how do you know when to end a collection?
Well, this is a collection I did. Most of these pieces I did about 2 years ago, and I've kind of moved on a little bit, but I think the mother thing keeps on coming back because that's just part of my story and a lot of people's stories. So, you know, they'll creep back in. And the kind of not being able to express how you really feel maybe with words, it always gives you an avenue for creating something and someone else getting something different out of it than maybe what I intended, but that's kind of the beauty of art as well. So,
now, is sculpture your main form of expression?
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been doing that for?
About six years ago, I was actually an educator in a public school for many years, working with elementary students and not in art. And I took a workshop from a narrative sculptor in Santa Fe, and I don't know, I just became obsessed, and I thought, this is a voice I can have. It let me voice some of the frustrations maybe and some of the joys, but in a way that other people could interpret things the way they wanted as well. So,
is this your first avenue into art sculpture, or did you try other mediums throughout your life?
I minored in art in college, but I mostly did watercolor, and I did some pen and ink drawings. I did it more just for maybe I intended only to do it because to me art was like the fudge on top of the ice cream sundae. You know, it was like the frosting of life, that you do it because you just purely enjoy it. So I didn't really ever look at it as perhaps having a career in it. And because I did that, you find art everywhere. Even when I was teaching, you have to be creative, and there's lots of things you can do creatively there. So, but then, you know, I got to a point where I wanted to do it in another way. I wanted to do it full time.
Is it hard to take that leap into becoming a full-time artist?
Well, it is, because I'm a pretty practical person and I'm cautious, and I didn't want to do anything that would put my husband and my life at risk as far as financially and that kind of thing. So I have this very practical side, but then I had this other desire or passion to do things. And so because I'd worked for the same school district for so long, I could retire early and have a pension. So I didn't have the concern of, oh my gosh, I have to make this to make money. I did it because I wanted to express myself, and then it just kind of developed into a business, I suppose.
Beautiful.
So,
yeah,
thank you. Yeah, yeah.
How do you go about starting to create a piece? Do you sketch it out, or do you just go to your medium right away?
I don't sketch it out. Occasionally, if I want to capture the idea, like maybe I don't have a title in my head, but I have this concept, and so I may sketch. I keep these little moleskin book in my purse at all times, and I'll get an idea from something I see, or somebody will say something on the radio. I listen to NPR a lot. Somebody will say something, I'll go, oh yes, I can relate to that. So I'll sketch out the idea, but it is really a bad sketch. I would never show anybody. It's just to capture kind of the spirit of what maybe I want to. And then I often develop beyond that. I'll think of another idea and think, oh no, I could represent it in a much more powerful way by doing this. So I don't sketch, and then I just start building. They're all coil built. Most of them are coil built.
Can you describe what that is?
It's taking clay, and I make fairly chunky ones, about, I don't even know how to describe it. They're larger than a bratwurst, kind of.
Okay, yeah.
And so I do chunky coils, you know, about 18 inches, 16 inches wide, and then I take the roller and kind of flatten them a little bit. And then they have slabs coming up about 3 inches and 3 inches. And you can go up about 12 inches before you have to stop and let it kind of get stiff.
Because you have to have a solid foundation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And they'll get a little floppy if you don't do that. So I build them like that. And then the arms are usually slabs, which is you roll out a slab and then you make it into like a cone or a cylinder and then kind of go from there. So it's a lot of timing. You have to add things just at the right time and wait till they get leather hard enough that you can put them on but not too dry so they don't stay.
So I imagine there are some challenges to executing a piece such as this one in itself. And that
most people think they're solid, but they're all hollow. Yeah.
So what are some of those challenges you've had to learn how to overcome in order to execute?
Well, clay has some limitations. For instance, and then my kiln has limitations because I can only fit something in that's 24 inches high. And so if you can tell the story without legs, that's always good because I can make a bigger piece. It'll look bigger because of that. And then doing things like, you know, when I put things inside the head, there's an advantage to that because you can make it even appear bigger because of that. Clay also, because it's heavy, if I make something from the ankles up, I often have to make the ankles quite chunky because it has to be able to take the weight of the rest of the piece. And you know, you can spend hours and days on a piece and then the ankles crack. Now what I try to do is do more things that I really think about what can be in the viewfinder in a way and tell the story without having maybe to make the entire piece. Although, anyway, so that's a challenge. And then, of course, because sculpture has uneven thicknesses, there's an issue with firing and having you not getting cracks and doing lots of things like that.
Or having it blow up,
So there are lots of challenges. The surface is always an issue because low firing things can look very plastic or not much depth. And so I do that with texture.
Well, you do put a lot of pattern, or I don't even want to call it pattern because it's its own unique.
Yep. And then I do a fire in it in a way so that the glaze will craze or crack because that adds depth. A little more interest, I suppose.
It is more interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely. What do you hope that people take away from your work?
When they look at a piece? Well, I think probably the main thing that I try to convey is that that there are many similarities among us, but obviously uniqueness as well. But there's sort of a common link that goes between humans. And I started out with kind of motherhood or maternal sort of intellect, because I do think even in males that that can be very prominent. And that's something that most people can relate to. And so by relating to something, it hooks us or it links us to other people. So I think that's probably the main.
Do you believe that art should be for everyone? I mean, there are some people that make their art available to everybody, and there are some people that choose not to. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's part of being human, is that we all have different ways to do it. And so it's just like the variety in art. I'm not persnickety about art has to look realistic or representation or that's the best. I think the wonderful part of it is that people can create, and it depends on, you know, just there's such individuality to it. That's probably the part of the celebration is. That we don't all like the same thing. We don't all do things the same way. That's
for sure.
That's the big story, I guess, or the big important part of it. So
where did you grow up, here in Minnesota?
I grew up in Michigan.
Okay.
And but I've lived over 30 years in Iowa, in the Des Moines area. I went to college in Iowa and then started teaching in Des Moines. But I grew up in Michigan, in a small farming community, a lot like.
Very much like,
Only no art around.
Well, and now you're in it, so. making up for the past, I guess.
That's right, and in fact, the public school that the city that I lived in didn't have an art program. Only when I got in high school, they had it 1 year. I happened to take art 1 year, so. I think that's probably one of the reasons why I went to college. I just made sure every semester I signed up for an art class, because I had not had access to it before. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, did I go in that direction because now I have access to it?
Yeah. It makes you wonder.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people do things for all different sorts of reasons.
Right.
But this makes you happy.
Yeah. And I don't think as a kid, you know, even as a teenager, I knew what the possibilities were. In my world, in the 70s or 60s, it's a common story as you were a teacher, a nurse, or a secretary if you were a female. And I didn't really know that there were other choices. Like, I would have loved to have been an architect, I think.
Wow.
Or, you know, something to do with art. So.
That's very true. I mean, my mom has mentioned the same thing, too, and she went into nursing as well. She's like, well, what is there available for me as a female?
Yeah, and I love teaching. It was very satisfying, and I think that's what adds depth to my art, too, because of the number of people that I met. And
right.
I'm sure with your mom, too, nursing, you just meet so many different people.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's probably the issue that's important to me, is that the link, that there are so many things that, even though we are very different different people, there are some things that link us together, and that humans sort of search that out, what commonalities they have in others. So.
Well said. So if somebody wants to find out more information about you or get their hands on a piece of yours,
I can fix them
where would they go?
I do have a website, and the pieces that I have on there are, I want to say, kind of representational, because when I do finish a piece, they usually go on to an art festival or they go on to a gallery or something like that. But I have lots of people contact me, and they kind of tell me what they're sort of looking for, and then sometimes I create something specifically for them. Or when I have things come out of the kiln, I'll send them a photo, that kind of thing. It's just really hard to constantly update a website.
Oh, yeah.
That's so time consuming. And I want to do that, but I also want to make sure I have actual work to put on the website. So,
versus the other, right?
Yeah. So I do update occasionally, but if I know if it's going to a show, I just don't bother with that usually, because it may not be available in a week or so.
Right.
So, LindaLewisArt.com.
Oh, okay.
is a website. Yeah.
And how long will your exhibition be up here at Lanesboro Art Center?
It's until June 1st.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a lot of exposure.
Yeah.
And then I assume you'll be at some festivals this spring.
Right. This year I'm only doing one a month because I overdid it a little last year. So I'll be at the Des Moines Art Festival in Madison, Wisconsin. I do a lot of mostly Midwest. And then in Loveland, Colorado, they have a sculpture festival in August. I'll be at that. So
great. So there's opportunities to see you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for taking time out.
Yes, it was so nice to meet you.
Thank you.
A big thank you goes out to Linda Lewis for visiting with us on Art Beat. More information on Linda and her art can be found at lindalewisart.com. Another thank you goes out to the Lanesboro Art Center. More information on Lanesboro Art Center can be found at www.lanesboroarts.org and on Facebook. You've been listening to Art Beat.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.